fill your cup and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Happy Friday to you, April 12th, 7:02 a.m. Let's get the morning started. John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a long week, but a good week. Feels like home here now, man. This is nice, but I'm ready to have a good weekend, get some good weather. Feels like we're almost over the hump, and boy, do we have stuff to talk about. How are you doing?
Feeling good, feeling great. Got a big show plans, and then a relaxing weekend ahead of me. Sam, what about you on the other side of the board as you bring us in? How you feeling over there, first of all? You feeling good now? I know it's not exactly set up perfectly, but have you got a good enough grasp on it now where you feel good?
Yeah, no, I feel very solid. I feel like I'm back in the old place. Just needed a couple days to get things settled in, but I like the new setup. It's looking great. It's nice and new, so I'm feeling good this morning. Watched my Masters yesterday. Your guy Bryson broke my heart.
I hope you're saving some money. Lunch is kind of expensive these days.
Homa looked good, though.
Hey,
the bet was to make the cut.
We had two bets.
We check the tape.
I'll pull back the tape.
Check the tape.
I want two bets. I want Bryson to miss the cut, and I want Bryson versus Homa straight up.
Okay, but I feel like the lunch was just on Bryson. We're going to check the tape there because I'm pretty sure we settled on just the lunch being Bryson make the cut. And I was like, well, I'll give you some plus odds. Like, I don't want plus odds. I like being a man. I want the tougher bet. I was like, all right, whatever you do. We can check the tape. It's fine. But, yeah. Homa was right behind him, you know, not in first place, but he's not through his round yet, so maybe we'll see if he can go low. But, yeah, okay, so feeling good over there, new phone number. We don't have the light-up box yet, do we, yet for
no,
the calls?
No, but yeah, that's maybe the only thing I'm missing.
Okay, so we need that. And the filed under the label of something always comes up. The video, if you're watching on the video, it's zoomed in a little bit, and I can't figure out how to get it to unzoom, and I don't want to, like, start pressing buttons over there. I'm getting better at that thing over there. I'm getting better at running things, but I don't want to mess up everything and, like, have it go completely off. So you can see us. We're a little bit more zoomed in. You might like it a little more, actually, because you can see me and Bob closer. Like, it's actually a pretty good TV shot. It's just we're closer. You might like it, though. You know, maybe we'll get some new fans. Maybe somebody will be scrolling Facebook and be like, whoa, who are these two studly gentlemen? We kind of look like father and son a little bit up here.
I get that a lot.
Just two guys sitting up here talking sports. And, wow, they're talking about OJ. Wow, Jonas Adu, these guys got it all.
I want to get to know them better.
Yeah. So maybe it might work out better for us. But, yeah, the only thing that I've got on my radar today is that the camera zoomed in a little bit for some reason, and I'm not sure why. But everything else seems like it's rolling here through week one.
Yeah, I'm looking at the shot. Doesn't look that bad. I think it's fine.
I think you should have just let it roll and then, you know, taking your chances and seeing if you got any complaints on social media. Like, hey, the Twitter shot's a little zoomed in.
No, I like to get out ahead of things first.
You know what we're not doing?
Well, the camera messed up. I already told you. I don't know.
It could be worse. Have you seen on whatever that show is even called now on ESPN with Stephen A. Smith and Chris Russo, Mad Dog, does this whole segment now where he walks up to the camera, like gets right in the camera eye and yells. And
I appreciate it, actually.
Do you really?
Yeah. Like I said, this guy's got a wrestling feel to it. Put that camera right here.
Yeah.
Zoom in. I don't want you to miss what I'm about to say. No, I appreciate that side of it. And Mad Dog's kind of electric.
Yeah, you know, I like Mad Dog.
He's a nice shot of adrenaline, although the Mad Dog scene I saw go viral this week was him basically, both Stephen A. and Molly were wearing white. And he's like, when's the wedding? And then Stephen A. goes on a weird rant about, the internet thinks we're dating, but we're not. But, hey, she's got good taste, and so do I. So people know what I like. So the fact that they're saying I'm with her is a compliment to her. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
She probably hates it. And he's kind of – He's towing the line of like getting an HR violation, but he's testing his power of just how popular he actually is there and powerful. But yeah, well, it was, that's the only Mad Dog clip I've seen in a while.
He's feeling himself because he's and good for him. He's lost some weight, and you know, I guess he's on this big workout regimen. He likes to talk about how good he looks. He did a whole social media thing where it was him doing a profile without his shirt on, you know, the before, now the after, you know, and it's like,
go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, all it takes is me like getting to the gym 3 straight days, and I'm like, you know what? I'm looking tighter already too. Yeah. The shirt's fitting a little better already.
But
so
he did Bill Maher's show a couple of weeks ago, real time, and Maher said something like, "Hey man, you look great," and he, you know, he specifically like 38 pounds, you know, it was like just like to the, you know, surprised he didn't say ounces. So it's good though. Yeah, like I said, I get it. When that happens, you feel good. And so he's definitely on a heater about his look right now.
Well, plus he probably wakes up every day laughing at both Skip Bayless and Max Kellerman as two ops, and
yeah,
how Skip is flopping without him, and how Max, we don't even know where Max is without him. So he probably revels in that as well. He has to balance it out because the internet's pretty mean to him most of the time. Though I do feel a little bit bad for him because when you talk 7 or 8 hours, sometimes you slip up. Like, people could have done the same thing to me. I'm not comparing myself to Stephen A. Smith, but I talk a lot too. And if you talk for 3 hours every day, you're going to say something that messes up. And, like, you know, I've called A.J. Russell Andrew Lindsay a couple times. I know the difference of the person, but sometimes the name just comes out wrong. And I felt bad because he was doing a breakdown of the Knicks. And he's like, yeah, my boy Quentin Grimes is balling off the bench. And everyone's like, he's been traded for like 2 months. He's not helping. And it's like Isaiah Hartenstein off the bench. He's been starting since the beginning of the season, Stephen A. And he struggles on a couple of those things. But other than that, he has to gas himself up. I didn't expect to start with Stephen A. Smith today, but it fits, so we went with it.
Yes.
You guys do anything fun last night? Anything exciting? Just Masters for you, Sam?
Yeah, just Masters.
How much of the broadcast did you miss? Were you locked in the entire time?
Yeah. You know, I pretty much only missed for my class.
Okay.
Teacher was like, shut down the laptops, you know. I know it's Masters week, but we got a panel here today to do some Q&A for you guys. No watching the Masters.
What was the Q&A on?
It was about grad school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You going to go?
I don't think so. Kind of tired of this whole school thing.
You know, I kind of wish I would have tried to go to grad school after school, really? To be honest. I felt the same way you did, but I kind of wish I would have done that immediately after school.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not like shutting the door on it, but...
Yeah, I'm not trying to push you into it. I'm just saying, as I've gotten older, I kind of wish I would have done it because I probably could have tricked my dad. He wouldn't have even known it was... I was like, yeah, I need more checks to pay yeah. for school. It's fine. I got a bill.
Yeah.
And just kind of moseyed on through and maybe been in a better position. But, you know, I don't know.
That's what they were saying. There's one girl who just went straight into it and one that was... took like 4 or 5 years off. She graduated during the pandemic, so now she's like back into school. My professor was like, yeah, I took 15 years in between graduating and go to grad school, so it's just kind of whatever.
Not to make you relive your Q&A, sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, it was informational. I definitely learned some stuff about grad school, so.
Bob, what about you? Anything exciting yesterday?
Not a lot. Worked on a few things during the day, and then we were kind of in hurry up and wait mode for my son to get in town from Florida. His flight was delayed 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was a direct flight, thankfully, but I think, well, we saw it at the Masters, we saw it here locally. The weather was kind of a thing, so if you were coming from the south heading north, there were problems. So, but he got in, and we went out and had a nice dinner last night and caught up. And you know what was really fascinating? He adores our dog. You know, he grew up with it. And he hasn't been home for about a year. But, man, I had a feeling, too. But when he walked into the house, it took about 5 seconds. And that dog, you know, dogs are just amazing. We were talking about him yesterday. Our dog acted like he had just seen him 5 minutes ago. You know, I mean, it was, you know. My wife was like, I think I'm going to cry. You know, I was like, well, it's not that special. But it was pretty cool. You know, it was just neat seeing. And he really missed the dog. And it was fun seeing that little reunion. And then that was it, really. Just watched some of the Masters. Probably didn't watch as much as Sam did. But My pick for my one-and-done pool of Koepka is kind of trudging along. We'll see. He's still got holes to play today from the first round, so let's see if he can – it's that back nine, too, and he can maybe make some hay if the weather's okay.
Now, in this one-and-done pool, does it matter where they finish or just whether or not they win?
The way it works is whatever dollars they win in the purse is – it applies to your dollar equals a point, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, you want – biggest thing for sure is you want to each week you want to make the cut so you at least make some money.
But and you also probably want to prioritize the better golfers for the bigger purse.
Oh yeah, of course. Too. Yeah, okay. Like we've already used Scheffler, and that was because he played in the Players, which he won, and that has the biggest purse.
Okay.
So you got to think of it that way too. It's
sounds fun.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's fun.
And did your son's flight get delayed prior to leaving and getting to the airport, or was he stuck in the airport delayed?
He was stuck in the airport.
Yeah, tough.
Sat there for about 5 hours.
That rain was insane. I got right back to my car from class as soon as the sky just dropped.
It was weird because I was here at the studio for most of the day, and it was on and off, and you couldn't really see when it was raining. And then I was calling my mom, who was kind of in the North City. She's like, no, it's beautiful and sunny here. And Tim was up and down Kingston Pike. He's like, no, it's sunny on Kingston Pike. So it was just in spotted places, I guess, the entire day. Yeah, because a lot of people were missing it, and some people were getting absolutely rained on. I went to the movies.
What'd you see?
I went to see Civil War, the new
A24.
You know, I don't know if I feel comfortable giving my review and ratings yet, just because it's only been out for a day, and I don't want to sway anybody. Is that fair, or do you want to know? I don't know.
I probably won't be going to see it in theater, so you could tell it to me if you want.
I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering how much you think it could trigger people.
Oh, trigger people? Oh, yeah, trigger people. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, there's some scenes in there that are definitely. Would make the squeamish person upset, and not even in a gory sense, but just it's disturbing. I mean, when you think about it, if you get too deep into it,
art imitating life could be
sure.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I don't want to go that far in terms of that, but I mean, I guess that's what they're trying to play on, you know, both the past of the Civil War and the culture wars of today. I don't want to go and say you really put myself in these shoes and thought this was going to happen, but that's definitely what they're going for. Didn't necessarily work on me, but it did work on some people behind me. This woman kept being oh, my God. Oh, she said three times audibly, in quiet moments, oh, my God. And then afterwards, I saw her go up to the bartender and tell him how crazy it was and just how, she's this was crazy. And so it really worked on her. It really worked on her. I don't want to get into it just because I don't want to sway anybody's thing, because they'll be John said this. And, I'm not saying I got that much pull, but once you start seeing reviews come in, it can't help but get in your mind a little bit. Either you're looking for that person to be wrong or you're looking to be confirmed the other side. So I'll give it a little bit. I'll tweet it out maybe versus that way you can just see it if you want, not necessarily be attacked with it on the airwaves.
Maybe one of those tweets that you got to press. Are you sure you want to hit this?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But I was there, and that's what I did yesterday. And then what did I do in the evening? Nothing to report, really. Worked. Did some work last night. Then just consumed a lot of content. We got a lot to talk about. Let's start going after the break. We'll get Bob's story of the day. Stick with us. It's the morning show here on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach?
Sister cries out. From her baby bed, brother runs in, feathers on his head.
Mama, we got a new call-in number here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Sam, you got it yet? Come on. Nine? You think our area code starts with nine?
No. I mean, obviously 865. No, that was the old one, wasn't it? 865.
All right, now think. There's a football player at the end. Really famous football player in Tennessee.
I don't know the first three. I know it's 31-31.
Okay, now add those together.
Okay, 288.
There you go.
Nice. Okay.
You figured it out.
I like your math.
It's worked. You got it now. It just clicked. I saw it in his eye.
I still can't. That makes my head hurt, that whole equation thing. The 3-1-3-1 I get, but how you arrive at the 288, I know it makes sense, but it's...
Two threes, two ones. You add them up, it's 8-8. 288-3131. So that's the phone number. Lock it in your phone if you want to call in here or during G.I. Jake or during Colin Cowherd. I don't think anybody's going to answer. Actually, don't call during Colin Cowherd because for now the phones are like bleeding over into our other business inside the studios, the apparel company that we're running here too, and like they're, I don't know if they're getting annoyed, but like those sales guys are coming up like, hey, you got Joshy Boy on hold. What do you mean do with him? And we're just like, ah, you know, I don't really know. And then it's not like connecting in here. So don't call during calling. Let's give them a little bit of a break. But yeah, 288-3131. Bob, what is your story of the day right here on this Friday morning?
Well, it's kind of funny because we wrapped up yesterday's show talking about the whole situation with the basketball Vols, the men's team, and the fact that there seems to be a lot of scuttlebutt out there, but now some of it feels like, if I use that term scoop or scuttlebutt, some of it seems to be scoop now when it comes to Jonas Adu. We've been hearing a lot, and he made it real. Supposedly Wednesday night, but it became official yesterday that Jonas has entered the transfer portal, also has declared for the NBA draft, I believe. And I don't know, maybe the things we don't know is, are we waiting to, is he trying to test the waters, obviously, for NIL in the transfer portal, or maybe getting to a place where he thinks he's going to have a better chance to win even more than he did at Tennessee, which there's not many schools you could do that. But then the NBA draft thing, that's happened before. We had that happen, I think, last year with, I think Josiah, you know, went out there and got some feedback, you know what I mean? Didn't agent up or anything. So then he could come back and try to make a go of it for a fifth year. And maybe Jonas is doing some of that. All that to say, he's intending to leave the building, which now puts us in the lurch in terms of two of the three big men. We had talked about the log jam at the five, and now it's not a log jam anymore. And I don't know. And it leaves a lot of questions. I think, John, you brought it up yesterday towards the end of the show when we were talking about this. If something happens with Jonas, does it mean Tobe might reconsider? There's all sorts of variables. There's also the Mayshak variable that keeps coming out, and nobody really knows if it has any traction to it or not. Just a lot. There's a lot that we want to break down, because also this weekend, there's, you know, we're talking about all the outgoing or potentially outgoing players, but then there's potentially incoming players. There's some significant visits to campus this weekend from pretty significant players in the transfer portal. D-Stone is there. I saw somebody call him, and I like that. Darlin Stone DeBar, D-Stone. He's coming into town. Cade Tyson from Belmont coming into town, who has turned into a very apparently coveted asset. There's other names popping up on that kind of transfer portal hot board for Tennessee too. So there is a lot happening in this space right now.
I was trying to tweet out a new video and I spelled transfer portal P-O-R-T-L-E. Luckily I caught it, but that's just
like chortle.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's the morning. It takes my brain a while to wake up, but I did catch it. You know, you talked about last year with Josiah doing the NBA test the water slash, you know, that whole thing. Kumwa did the same thing, though, and he ended up gone. So, like, you know, like,
yeah.
He ended up in college and gone. So, like, it's a bad sign, you know, when it comes to Jonas's future. It's not necessarily just testing the waters. When you add the transfer portal side to it, that means like, hey, I'm open for negotiation. I'm open for business. So, you know, at this point, we've said 80% that one of these guys is going to be gone. And I don't think you're getting both back from the portal. So you are going to have a different, you know, rotation, a different situation with your big men. As far as Jonas goes, you know, I've heard pretty good sources that he's got a really big offer at North Carolina waiting on him. And, you know, they made a run at him last year whenever they didn't really know if Baycott was coming back or, you know, exactly maybe wanted to pair him with him. I don't know. But, like, they talked to him last season, and stuff I've gotten told is that he has an offer for $1 million. Like, he has a seven-figure offer to go to North Carolina for a year, which seems crazy, which also, you know, would kind of be hard to turn down. Like, I don't know where he ranks in their pecking order, if they've got just big offers out to him and Ballo from Arizona, because Ballo from Arizona had them on his list too. So it seems like they're definitely ready to pay for a big man. And, of course, they take their basketball a lot more seriously than their football at North Carolina. So they're going to throw around bigger money than a team like Tennessee, who takes their football much more seriously than they take their basketball at Tennessee. But, yeah, like that's the type of interest that I'm hearing Jonas has.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. That would be tough to walk away from. The other thing that I've heard, which it may not have any impact on any of this at all, but it does make you wonder from the Awaka standpoint, is I've been told that Jonas and Tobe have the same handler. They don't, you know, it's not an agent, obviously, but they have somebody who's advising them on all this stuff. And it's, you know, it's outside the university family. And it just makes you wonder, again, is there, and we might be getting too far ahead, but is there some other play that, you know, maybe Tobe does come back?
I definitely think it's a leverage play.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you have the same handler thrown in there. I mean, that wouldn't make sense. Like, hey,
yeah,
going to get two guys making 30% of what they can make on the open market, so let both guys test the market. And one guy will get paid here, and the other guy,
yep,
you know, gets paid somewhere else. I assume those handlers get a kickback. You know, they're not agents, but I assume they get some type of kickback. You would think.
Yeah, you would think so.
But either way, it just goes with what I'm saying, you know, and I've been saying. If you're a good college basketball player, it's almost dumb not to test the waters in the transfer portal. Like, that's probably like the last step in negotiations, and like, you hope that your school just takes care of you, and like, you know, you go to them and you're like, hey, you know, I'm gonna need a little bit more bread, gonna need a little bit more money, these seniors are gone, that means there's some more money to come, and we're not really bringing any high school guys in, or even if we are bringing high school guys in, very few high school seniors and college freshmen deserve to get a big chunk of NIL money. That's just the way it is. You know, there's probably 15 freshmen that are actually like big time impact players across the entire country. Like, who were the best freshmen this year? Was there anybody that really stood out? Because those days are gone. Whenever you have the John Walls, DeMarcus Cousins, you got those guys. It seems like the impact freshman was kind of dead this year, unless I missed somebody. But like
Stephon Castle, but I think that's because of the team he was associated with.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, okay. So one, is there anybody else?
Cody Williams. To your point, still.
The Colorado kid?
Yeah. But okay. There's literally a couple.
But he's the one that's like going top five. But yeah, the point is, like, there's a handful of them maybe across the entire country that you would deem as impact.
Would you not put like Shepherd and Dillingham in there?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, like, I'm adding them up, but like, you know, five or six. But like, if Reed Shepherd and Dillingham got big on NIL money, that would make sense. But also, where were those guys ranked in terms of the rankings? Were they thought of as five stars? I mean, I know Shepherd was. Was Dillingham also a five star? I assume if he ended up at Kentucky that he was. But, like, here at Tennessee, we had some freshmen. But, like, none of those guys would have really been worth a lot of money this year when you're looking at your quote-unquote salary cap. Cam Carr, love the guy. Wouldn't have been worth much money. Same as Estrella, you know. We saw it with DeLeon and how much money he was reportedly making over the last year and a half. Was it worth it to the actual, you know, budget of winning? So if I'm a veteran player across college basketball, like, I'm thinking all that money should be going to us. Not dissimilar from when the NFL veterans all got together and said, hey, we really need to get rid of this rookie salary thing you guys got going on, where Sam Bradford's making $63 million, but he's a first, you know, the first overall pick before ever taking a snap. Because there's a lot of busts in the first round. We don't need to be divvying out all this money. It's a similar concept now in college basketball. So if I am a good college basketball player, I am trying to get this leverage. And if the school's not budging, then yeah, I'm going to leak that there's rumblings I might enter the transfer portal. There's going to be rumblings. And if that doesn't work, then yeah, I'm following the paperwork and we'll see what happens. And that's my last, you know, chance to try to get some leverage. Of the guys that actually entered the portal, Bob, what percentage do you think actually want to leave a big school?
What percentage? That's a good question.
Do you think Jonas and Awaka, like, want to leave Tennessee? Do you think Freddie and DJ Jefferson want to leave Tennessee? And like, or is it like, hey, in a perfect world, I'm here and I'm happy. Like, I don't want to necessarily uproot my life and start over as a as a college kid going somewhere. Like, to me, it's about money and opportunity, and like opportunity to make money. Like, that's all it is. Like, in a perfect world, I think all these guys would stay and be happy and get paid at Tennessee.
I think for me, I think Freddie's was just my opinion was is more rooted in playing time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that might be the only one I would say that was maybe not happy, but I don't know that for a fact.
Sure.
I think the other ones, you're right. I mean, DJ Jefferson, we've talked about it. Everybody felt like he wanted to stay. And then I think, again, we saw the vibe with Jonas and Tobe and all the other, you know, that team, we've talked about it all season long, how tight they were and aligned. You know, they were, I think those guys were happy. I do.
I just kind of feel like at this point, 65% of the transfer portal guys, and if they actually leave, you'll be like, why? They'll be like, it's business.
Yeah.
You know, I got to maximize my money. Got to maximize my opportunities. And that's fine. Like, you know, to make a million, if the offer is true at North Carolina and you can make $1 million to go play basketball in a season, I think Jonas Adu would be silly not to at least consider it, because I don't know, you know, how many times he'll have an opportunity to make $1 million. It's not like he's an NBA big-time prospect. Not saying he can't play professional ball somewhere, and maybe he can make a living playing basketball, but like, hey, 21, 22 years old, man, you offer me that type of money, and it's even, you know, 30, 40% higher than I can make at home, you're definitely going to consider it, as anybody would in their current job. And that's the problem I think people have with it, is just that it is a job now.
Yeah.
The illusion has finally been pulled back. It's not amateurism anymore. I mean, it hasn't been for a long time, but it's definitely ramped up to a nth degree. Like, it's 100 times more prevalent now than it was, you know, just, you know, 5 years ago.
And I do think, you know, we've covered this in the past, going to a name from the past, with B.J. Edwards. The story goes that his group came in the offseason last year and kind of made a demand about how many minutes he wants to play under Barnes, and they were like, we're not promising you that. And so then he leaves, and I do think that that's some of the business part of it too, you know. And I'm saying the business part of it is now forced the hand of the Tennessee coaching staff. Again, one of the things I had heard was when at the beginning of the week, when Tobe's news came out, that there was a conversation had that where they were saying, JP Estrella is going to, we're targeting 15 to 18 minutes for him next season, a game. So if you're Tobe on the other end of that, not so much Jonas, but Tobe, that could be like, man, that I want to go play 25 to 30. How can I do that? And it's not going to happen here. So, yeah, it is. It becomes business, and it's the part we don't love to talk about, but that's what it's come to now.
Playing time is always going to matter, but I would just say, like, the playing time is ultimately rooted in money as well. Like, sure. If you're going to tell a walk, hey, you're still going to play your 18 or 20 minutes, but you're going to be paid as much here as you can be paid anywhere in the country. Does he uproot his life and leave and start into a new culture and go somewhere where he's unfamiliar? I would say probably not. Now, I don't know. Maybe he's got the pride, hey, I want to be a starter. I could be one of the best big men in the country, blah, blah, blah. Maybe. But I just think ultimately you want to start, because when you start, you get starter money. And, like, you want to go somewhere that's going to prioritize you. And I think ultimately that's the issue. Now, B.J. Edwards, I think he's a transfer candidate throughout all the eras of college basketball, as far as I'm concerned. I think it was Jordan McRae that said that yesterday. It was like, hey, back in my day, you know, the transfer people were usually freshmen that didn't really get a lot of minutes and, like, wanted to go somewhere they could play,
right,
take a step down. He's like, now it's like, hey, I'm a freshman, I'm playing, but now I want to cash in and go get a lot of money somewhere. My stock is through the roof. And, you know, he's talking about the difference there and how it doesn't feel right, you know, to have people run away. Sam, I ask you as a fan. Sorry if you were getting ready to do some production work there.
Good.
Transfer portal. As a fan, do you like it or do you dislike it?
I think I kind of like it. I think that it's fair for these kids to go out and try and get that money. And, you know, I think that guys like Tobe and Jonas have earned those minutes. I think kind of Tobe especially. I don't have, you know, any kind of problem with him wanting to go and get 25 plus minutes and go get a good chunk of money, because I feel like he's kind of cut his teeth at a place where he can, you know, where he kind of deserves to be able to get those minutes. But I also do kind of then kind of come back to just, you know, what some of these former players say about the transfer portal, where it's like, you got to go out there and work for your spot. You know, you can't just go out there and ask for $500,000 and 30 minutes guaranteed. Like, I almost wonder if, you just asked for a little bit more money, but like not a minute's increase, and just said like, "Hey, I'm going to go in here and work my ass off. I just want a little bit more money."
Turns out those former players are wrong, Sam, because that's exactly what you can do. Because somebody like Brandon Hunley Hatfield went into Louisville and got paid, and and I mean, like, you sacrifice, you start losing, but he made some money without really, you know, having to quote unquote work for it. And then, you know, entered the portal afterwards and like, we'll try it somewhere else. But like, no, you can 100% do that. And schools are so desperate. And like, if you do have a deep, solid team, people will pluck you because everyone's desperate, because you'll always have schools that are really trying to replace players. It's not the same as football, where you do need high school. You have to have high school recruiting and the transfer portals to maybe add anywhere from 3 to 7 depth / like low end starter pieces. Usually, like, every now and then you'll get your star, but like, for the most part, you're trying to fill out holes. In basketball, you're trying to fill out your whole roster in transfer portal sometimes. Like, you know, we talked about Arkansas. They got 0 people right now, maybe 1 on their roster. Kentucky's going to be in a similar position. We'll talk about their coaching hire in hour 2. And, like, you know, at Tennessee, a team that you would think has a stable culture, you look around, even these guys are going to be, like, 50% new next year at this rate.
Hard to build culture these days down in basketball.
It is. Now, you know, Tennessee, I think you got your last chance of like, hey, you know, you got some hangovers. If Zakai stays happy, he can be your culture guy. Like, he's your last connector, and you hope Meshack's there to kind of help do that. But, you know, it's a balancing act. Bob, as a fan, transfer portal, do you like it or do you dislike it?
I'm really torn. I would say going into this season, I was okay with it. I liked it. I don't like this whole notion of a reset almost annually. And I think that's a good segue into I checked in with call it the Barnes camp yesterday, because I was curious about how he was doing. And you know, he said we'll be all right, but you know, it's very, very frustrating. And we all know enough about him and how he's wired, and some of the things. I'll combine that with some of the things I've heard firsthand, and I know there's been a lot of chatter, you know, all stuff that's so extreme, like, would he just retire on the spot? And I don't see that happening. He's got better integrity than that. He would see it through. I think he would do it for Zakai, if nothing else. But I do think, and we've had this conversation, God, back in maybe the first month we were doing this show, about the landscape of college basketball and how does he fit with it. I really would not be surprised if, you know, he announces this is his last season, because this is not what he wants to do, having to build every single year. In some instances, from scratch is a little harsh to say, it's not like that, but man, if you have to turn over half your roster on a regular basis, that's for a guy who prides himself and has built his brand on player development and building culture. That's not tenable, man. It's just not.
It's got to be even tougher for him whenever it's guys you probably really like that, like, are getting everything you want from them. Like, it's you're getting everything from them. They're giving you everything, or you're getting everything. You're giving each. It's a balanced relationship. If you're the coaching staff, you're coaching these guys up, there's a good relationship. If you're the players, you're getting coached, you're getting playing time. Like, for Jonas to hit the portal, like, if you're Rick Barnes, like, there's nothing I could do differently.
You almost, like, can't have glue guys anymore, because some other team is just going to be willing to throw more money at that glue guy to go be, like, the guy.
100%. Like, Jemai Meshack would be worth more to someone else than to Tennessee. Like, just because that's the way sports have operated forever. Like, or at least, you know, in the last 20 years. Like, we always talk about an NFL or NBA free agency. This guy's overpaid. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you're on the market and people are trying to lure you away. You get overpaid. Look at every NFL contract. Like, is Calvin really worth $94 million? I don't know, but you got to pay him to get him to choose you out of these other schools. So that's what, you know, that's what happens. So, yeah, Meshack would get more money somewhere else probably. So you can't really just have anybody, really. I mean, everyone. I mean, because, like, Ballo's a star.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, if you're Ballo, like, are you just all of a sudden sick of Tommy Lloyd in Arizona? Maybe. Or maybe it's like, hey, I'm actually just going to go to the highest bidder and try to make as much money as possible. I'd like to stay at Arizona if you can, you know, match the money. But you got to match the money. We'll do an LSU baseball preview. Logan Quinton, fan run contributor, coming up after the break. Big series this weekend. Ultimately, though, I think I side with I like the transfer portal. It's funny because Tennessee's in a position where your two most beloved players of the last at least 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah.
Hendon Hooker and Dalton Knecht are both transfer portal guys. So, like, as Tennessee fans, you can't really talk bad about the transfer portal no matter what, really. Like, as long as, like, Nico doesn't leave this offseason, because that might make – like, if Nico has, like, a Heisman Trophy-level season, is like, actually, deuces, I'm out. I'm going to the highest bidder. Like, that might finally break the camel's back here. But, like, until that point, or if Zakai hits the portal, like, the portal has given you way more than it's taken away. And that's without even adding in, like, you know, Amick and Dahlander and – like, Tennessee's been really benefited by the transfer portal.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, like, no matter what you lose, it's really not going to gain – it's not really going to match up what you've gained from it. So, you know, that was a, you know, a big consensus kind of when I put out the prompts on X yesterday, you know, about the initial thoughts about Adu. And I was like, oh, college sports are ruined. I hate the portal, blah, blah, blah. Like, I get it. It's frustrating, but you're a have so far. There are plenty of schools that are have-nots that are just complete feeder systems.
Very last thing I'll say on this, I think I posted it yesterday, it makes me shudder to think what the next college football formal transfer portal process will look like. It's just becoming chaos, man.
As a college athlete, you'd feel a little left out if you weren't involved in it. Like you get dropped out of the conversation a little bit. Like when it's all about exposure and it's all about like keeping your name in now for NIL purposes and like, you know, generating interest, you at least got to somewhat flirt with it or you know, like maybe you feel left out. Logan Quinton coming up next. We'll talk some baseball.
Ever been the coach who realized the team
All right, let's hit the phone lines. Let's do a little LSU baseball series preview with our friend Logan Quinton, brought to you by Hotworks. Logan, top of the morning to you.
How's it going, fellas? I know the Lindsey Nelson renovations have been nice, but I want to hear about the new ballpark you guys are playing in. What's the new stadium like?
Well, you know, it smells a lot better. We got clean water. We got running water. A great fridge, some new energy, you know, great couches to hang out. People don't leave immediately when the show's over because there's nowhere to really sit and hang out. We got new coworker friends here. The energy's good, man. The energy's good. The only thing I will say is that so far, lunch locations, I got to figure out my routine. That's what's messing with me so far is I had it down pat where I had like three places I ate at the old studio, but everything else is much, much, much better here.
Gotcha. That's great to hear, fellas.
All right, so Tennessee, Tony Vitello finally saying he's willing to shake it up. He has not announced a Friday starter yet for pitching-wise. Where do you think Tennessee goes, and do you agree with Tony's decision?
Yeah, it's probably due. Now, I'll lean towards the side of I may have given Causey another start, being that it's at home, but – yeah, no, I mean, I don't blame him. And trying to read the tea leaves and kind of the word scramble there, I'm not sure. There's not a lot of options that make sense when you're talking about a guy to start tonight going against Gage Jump for LSU. You know, I would have – if I had to guess, you know, the guys that fit the bill to be able to start and kind of, you know, cut their teeth in the SEC in this moment – maybe it's a guy like Chris Stamos, you know, that's a seasoned guy. And, man, he's only got 13 innings on the year. You know, and that's a guy that's capable of way more than that. And then maybe you can bring a guy like Combs or Causey behind Stamos that would be a drastically different look. You know, Stamos is a lefty. And then, of course, you got Combs and Causey coming from the right side. With some funky arm slots. So I don't know if that's a route that will go, but there's not many options that make sense there for tonight.
Hey, Logan, good morning. One of the questions I have, we've been It feels like it's been a long time. It really hasn't, but I do hear chatter. You're probably hearing the same from Vitello that we may see Billy Amick this weekend. If you're handicapping that, do you think that's a reality?
You know, it's that's a good one because, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, Dalton Bargo was in the same boat. You know, obviously he didn't have his appendix removed. But going into the weekend, Tony said, look, we're going to be careful with this. Yeah, he's going to be active, but he's not going to be running around. Yeah, he'll be available to hit, maybe, but definitely not going to field, definitely not going to run the bases. And what do you know, come that Sunday, the guy's running around all over the place, playing defense and in the lineup. So this is a little bit different of a scenario, being that it's the appendix issue. I wouldn't think so, but man, this type of series will take many forms, and you know, they really, really didn't plan on Bargo getting put in there a couple of weeks ago when he was coming back from that hamstring, but just the way the series and the weekend evolved, you know, it was like, hey, like, let's go ahead and do it. So I don't think it's out of the question, but I'm not banking on it.
Logan, so, you know, it's an LSU program that is historically great, and you know, it feels like they just always will get it together at some point this year, but they've got off to a slow start, you know, 2-7 in SEC play, and have played some of the top opponents in the SEC there, so it really kind of feels like it's an LSU team that's coming into Knoxville this weekend kind of with their back against the wall. How important just is it getting off to a good start on Friday night, just knowing that this Tennessee team hasn't really had their best stuff on Friday so far this year and has been better in those Saturday-Sunday matchups?
Oh, if that happens, I mean, that thing, I mean, it's going to feel to the Vols. Considering how the past two Fridays have gone, that clubhouse has got to feel like they've got a stranglehold on the series, just being up 1-0 if that happens. And it'll be really refreshing for them. That, and it's been kind of a you know, you mentioned the LSU has been scuffling as a team. The Tennessee pitching, kind of the back half of it and parts of it, they've been scuffling as well. It's been kind of, you know, some crazy turns there. But somehow, some way, they keep going. And, you know, that it's easy to be, you know, when you're supported by an offense that's basically the best in the nation. I mean, they're top five in almost every category, top one or two in the SEC. Offensively and everything you can think of, but at the same time, the pitching staff at the end of the day is still a top five staff in the league. So if they can just keep it up, and I feel like a guy or two still can emerge. Obviously AJ Russell out there waiting to get back, which we got some good news on him this past week. That's promising. And don't underestimate Andrew Binky. He is back after being under the weather. He's not a wipeout guy or anything like that, but he's a guy that can go in there and throw strikes. He's been in the program a while, and he's a lefty with a funky hesitation delivery. That just adding him to be able to come in an inning or two will make all the difference for this bullpen.
You called it the best offense in the country. Where does it rank in terms of Tony Vitello's offenses since he's been here in Knoxville?
I really think, I mean, obviously all kinds of stuff can happen. We got a long way to go. We're approaching the halfway point. After we're done with this season, this weekend, it'll be the halfway point in SEC play. But with what they've done so far, and we see how deep the lineup is, it's not 1-9, it's 1-13, plus some. When you got a guy like Ethan Payne way down there that can play anywhere for you, and he's a tough at bat. I mean, look, he had that moment at Clemson last year. I think it's number one overall. I mean, of course, you had the 22 team with Gilbert and Beck, and it was flashy, and they were hitting home runs at a high rate too. But this, just top to bottom, I love the parity of this bunch and the way they grind out at bats. The handedness doesn't matter. You know, the lefties with Kavarez Tears and Blake Burke and Dylan Dreiling, you know, Gage Jump that they're going up against tonight is a lefty. Normally in past years, that would kind of make us a little nervous, right? Some of the lefties that Tennessee has might be really good, but struggle against left on left. that's no longer an issue. And these guys just grind out at bats if they need to. And it starts up at the top with Christian Moore. He's an aggressive hitter, an ambush guy, and he's coming off a super hot week. 13 RBI in his last four games, and it kind of starts there and goes all the way down past the 9 or 10 batter.
We've seen, you know, Nate Snead and Kirby Connell kind of being those two main horses for us out of the bullpen and being able to give us some really quality innings. But outside of those two, who do you think is kind of the X factor in this bullpen that you look to, you know, when you get past Snead and Connell?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Like I said, still waiting for a guy or two to emerge. But I think, you know, going back to Stamos, I think he needs more innings, and Tony kind of hinted at that. He's a guy that's not, you know, he comes from California, had a lot of experience out there at the D1 level, coming over to the SEC, and he brings a lot of knowledge, and I like his presence. And he's got, I think, you know, people kind of underestimate how, you know, his stuff plays back, you know, in the early spring, looked really, really good in a couple of times that I saw him. He's a guy that can keep hitters off balance if he needs to. And, you know, it's not wipeout stuff, but I think he can, whether it's like being a guy that could go out there and eat innings or a guy that can get you over in the middle part of a game, just get you over one or two innings. But heck, maybe tonight we see him start. You know, I think he can be an X factor. And then I'm also waiting on Marcus Phillips to develop. That guy physically has all the tools. It's a matter of coming together. He's a little more green than your typical JUCO transfer. He comes from way up north, and he played at Weatherford College, but they're really kind of handicapping his development a little bit just because it's not your typical JUCO transfer. He's coming into the SEC. He can throw as hard as a lot of these other guys in the league. But I want to see him develop, and maybe he can emerge down the stretch and be kind of like a one-inning guy throwing heat with some nasty spin. So those are a couple right there.
Tennessee is obviously at home. LSU is 3-9 so far in their first four SEC series. Who does this series mean more to this weekend?
Probably LSU, but at the same time, you know, I look at LSU and they're in about the same spot Tennessee was this time last year. And, you know, Tennessee was at the depths of despair. They go on the road to Arkansas at Baumwalker, and they get swept. And you thought it was all lost. Half the SEC play was over with, and it really felt like Tennessee's season was dead in the water. And then next thing you know, the next weekend against the rival Vanderbilt, Kavarius Tears, Dylan Dreiling, and Griffin Merritt had other plans. You know, they forced their way to what was a turning point in the season. Now, this LSU team, their pitching staff is not as good and not as deep as that Tennessee staff from last year. But it's still LSU. They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of guys on that staff. And then on the offensive side, Tommy White and Jared Jones are going to have to carry that bunch. You know, it's still a good offense, but it's far from what it was last year. When you're missing guys like Trey Morgan and Dylan Cruz in that lineup, I mean, Tommy White's good, Jared Jones having a good year, but the supporting cast has yet to develop offensively for LSU. So I think it means a little more to LSU.
And speaking of their staff, Logan, do you have any 411? I just want to say his name again, Gage Jump, the guy that's pitching tonight.
Yep.
We obviously familiar with Luke Holman, who's pitching tomorrow, but anything on Jump you want to share in terms of what the boys will be up against tonight?
Well, I'm kind of surprised that he's starting. You know, you mentioned Holman. Holman's going to be on two extra days rest. That's very interesting to me because, you know, if you're Jay Johnson, I'm thinking, okay, you're going to roll out your lead horse right away on Friday, being that he hasn't one day's extra rest already. You know, LSU's played two Thursday through Saturday series in a row. And so I found that very interesting. Jump is by far one guy outside of Holman that's kind of showing you promise, a guy that you can rely on, whether it's a you know, starter or otherwise. And they're putting him on Friday, you know, and we're going to see, see how that unfolds. But I will say that if, Jump can go in there and go five or six innings, they definitely want to give way to Griffin Herring. He's kind of their, if I had to put a comparison on it, Griffin Herring's kind of like their Nate Snead, not quite as electric or whatever, but he's a guy they want to, he's their leverage guy. And, that's what they want to do. They want to try to save as many arms as possible, you know, for Sunday to piece it together, because they've tried a lot of guys. They've got a lot of promising guys, just like Tennessee does, but nothing is quite developed. It's really kind of Holman and then and Jump and everybody else. You know, nobody else has really you know, shown anything yet to be kind of a Sunday starter, a leverage guy, or some other significant role. But Jump is definitely their number two guy, and they're, you know, we'll see what they do tonight and see who he's pitted up against. That's what we're waiting on next, to see who goes for Tennessee.
Logan Quinton, the 920 podcast. You got about 30 seconds. Is it the 720 podcast? Do I keep calling the 920 podcast?
920
podcast.
920, okay. Yeah, you got it.
You just made me nervous, Sam. You looked at me. You got about 15 seconds. Sell us on Hotworks. Hurry.
10839 Hotworks, Hardin Valley. Go check them out. If you can't make that location, PM me at LDQ Sports. We'll find you a location around town to get you in the infrared saunas. It's therapy. It's detoxification. You get a workout in while doing it. Go check them out. Hotworks.
Appreciate your time. Subscribe to the 920 podcast. Let's go to break. Hour one of the books. Kick off hour two with About Last Night.
The first annual Fan Run Open is Saturday, April 20th at Williams.